First of all, I'm very grateful to organizers for inviting me. I have no relation to LSC and not at all. On the other hand, what I want to speak about, it will be something related to random systems and to phenomena which arises in them. It's my most interesting, most exciting is localization, and just because of yesterday talk by Markus Müller, I want to say several words about in effects of interaction in random systems. All what I will speak about is not original, not new. It's sort of repetition, but I hope it. Not everybody knows all this, and if you know, then please excuse me. I will tell three story, which two and a half, and I just announce what will be there, and then I just start explaining. Story number one has relation to percolation, which was subject of many talks here, and the story will be following. Suppose you have three-dimensional grid, three-dimensional network of physical resistors, roughly identical but in principle different, with resistance R. And so it's at zero temperature, quantum effects are included, and we consider following things. So if you just cut some of these bonds, you gradually moving towards less and less connected network, and at certain. So if I now have here relative number of eliminated bonds, then there is critical concentration, and for concentration larger than critical, all system is disconnected. The second axis will be marked by E squared over H times R, and this side will be just disconnected and physically not conducting, and it's called classical dielectric. At the left hand side, you have geometrically connected network, more disconnected if you're moving towards PC. And here, if you have just absolutely regular thing, there is critical resistance of a single network, after which this thing is localized, it is dielectric. So this thing is called Anderson dielectric. It is geometrically connected, but physically zero resistance at zero conductance at zero temperature. Now, here I have metal, here I have Anderson dielectric, there is phase boundary. I promise to find how this phase boundary comes to this point.
R is just a classical or classical resistors, and they're all identical.
Not classical.
Fully coherent.
The system is coherent, but if you take this resistance at room temperature and measure, this is its resistance. But if you go down,
if you go to zero temperature,
this thing will be not conducting because you have localization. And this thing should be about one, just dimensionless number where this transition occurs. But if you make it more and more disconnected, the critical disorder should be less and less, and finally close to this point. So this is story number one.
Just to make sure I understand, sir, is an equivalent model obtained by hopping particles on a square lattice and diluting the bonds?
No. It's you should imagine that you have three-dimensional volume and your electrons are moving everywhere. Mm-hmm. And then you just remove parts and make their trajectory less and less connected. Okay. That is the mode.
Okay.
You can imagine that you have granular stuff and then you just disconnect grains.
Okay.
And that is physical thing. A second thing which I want to tell about, and I think it makes sense. I will discuss. Suppose I am here. Suppose I am in phase of Anderson dielectric. Now conductance and zero frequency is zero. The question is, what is conductance at finite frequency? And I will tell you a story which goes to Neville mode and explain how this thing depends on frequency. And what differs Anderson dielectric from usual dielectrics from glass and whatever. And second thing, so as I explain, this will be second, and that will be 2.5. I will say that how interaction affects this very phenomenon. So up to certain place, I will speak about all this without interaction, and then what interaction makes to this. And that turns us to subject of yesterday talk by Markus Müller. Okay. First of all, about this story. It's something very, very much reminding something. But just assume that you have Heisenberg ferromagnet on this lattice, and then you have critical temperature. And you have critical temperature which is of the order of exchange integral. Now, suppose you just remove this side. Then you understand, then your critical temperature will go down, and pre-P of the order of PC will vanish. Pre-P equal to PC will vanish. Question how it will vanish, it is similar question. And this question is, again, also solved long ago. And what I want to say is that these two problems are similar. In order to discuss all this story, I should be able to to consider how coherent effects in this disordered metal, how these coherent effects, what is the scale of these coherent effects? And that returns us to old story of weak localization, which is very, very simple. I just remind basic facts. If you have two points, your electrons propagate from one point to the other, you should take amplitude 1 and 2 corresponding to each point. Your probability is sum of this amplitude mod squared. It is probability to go from along each side plus A1, A2 conjugated, A2, A1 conjugated. And this is effect which is effect of interference. So if I consider only these two things, this will be classical, and that will be effect of. Usually these things are not very important. Most important things are connected with self-crossing of classical trajectories, and then you can go along this loop clockwise and counterclockwise. These two, A1 and A2, are absolutely coherent. And then the result of this is that interference term is large. So the effects of coherence appear rarely, but they are 100%. So in order to estimate this, you have to consider what is probability of return to initial point, and it, I will write this estimate. It's old story. Delta sigma to sigma is of the order of, and here should stay more or less probability of return, so it should stay integral over dq, and here should be diffusion propagator which describes probability of random walk. So in the case which we have here, this integral which I have right there is this integral is integral d3q. This diffusion coefficient itself has space dispersion, and here it is q squared. Now, what we know about this space dispersion of this diffusion coefficient? Now we have to play in scaling close to this. This has nothing to do. All quantum mechanics is already taken into account. This is a classical percolation. And I know that, first of all, d should be 1 over r, because this r governs mobility. 1 over r is mobility. And now it should be pc minus p to power sigma. This is critical index of conductivity in classical percolation times a function of q psi. Q is wave vector, psi is correlation length of percolation, which is pc minus p to power minus nu. about this function. We know that this function f of x is 1 for x much lesser than 1, and it is x to power gamma for x much larger than 1. So if I want to look at this thing at q goes to infinity, I have 1 over r pc minus p sigma. Now pc minus p minus gamma nu.
Sorry, where's the prefactor pc minus p to the sigma come from? Where's this one?
D is diffusion. Diffusion, due to Einstein relation, is proportional to conductivity. So since conductivity close to percolation threshold vanishes, D should vanish as well.
But you don't know yet the power.
This power I do know from classical percolation. This power gamma I also do know, but now I want to find relation between gamma and the others.
Would characterize, for example, a classical resistor network?
Yes. All these indices are now about classical resistor network.
Absence of resistance when r equal to 0 and you are on the bottom line of your phase diagram, then the removed bonds act as a kind of disorder itself, that they induce scattering. Therefore, I don't quite understand why in this coherent model the process you may consider the percolation effects classical, because they also contribute to coherent scattering.
Possible. I just do not want to think about this. I want to explain how this number of these scatterers, however, they cannot be very strong. They don't depend on RC, on R. My point is just to explain you can get something due to this. My point is how to find what is the effect of R.
So my question is just related to perhaps to Ilya's question. Why sigma might be...
No, I did not ask why.
You didn't ask why. Well, my question is why.
Just again. I assume that all most of the scattering occurs not at the point of contact, but inside every resistor. So I assume that scattering at the point of contact is small. And that is precision with which I'm working. Okay? And don't ask me how much. I did not estimate. Now, what I want to say is that, simple thing, I want to say that if I'm at large Q, then probably nothing should depend on this infinity transition. Nothing should depend on PC minus P. So this sum should be zero. And from here, gamma equals sigma over nu. And that's larger than 1. So what I wanted to say, that this integral here, it is d3q over q square at small q. So it diverges at large q's. And if I go to
statement this is greater than 1, is again just a fact known from classical perfection?
Yes, it's a fact known from classical perfection, that this ratio is a fact known from classical perfection. I even can say how much is this, and it depends slightly on, it does not depend on type of the lattice, but it depends on dimension. And here I have D3, and here I have Q to power gamma plus 2. Well, you may see that this way, this is going to higher Q, and this is going to lower Q. So this whole integral sits at Q of the order of Xi, of 1 over Xi. So what I want to say is that result is R times PC minus P to power minus sigma and 1 more Q, so it should be plus nu. And now I would say that exactly at the place where delta sigma to sigma of the order of 1, R is approximately RC. From here I have RC.
So what's the cutoff for small q? Is the size system size or correct? Relish length? So what's the cutoff in the small q?
No. Look, this very small q, it grows. It goes to large q's.
This is large q limit.
This is small q limit. This is large q limit. So if I look at this expression, that this diverges and goes to large Q, and this diverges at small Q, and all this sits at Xi.
Yeah, okay.
That was why I was it. And here RC is PC minus P, sigma minus nu. Well, that's quite natural that this is transition line. It should not be universal in sense of localization. It has no relation to that. So it all dependencies appear from entirely from classical percolation. Now I want to discuss what happens here.
Sorry, I'm sorry. If the small q is dq d3 q over q squared, that's conversion.
No.
What's the
not at large q?
Not at large q.
Dima is saying this diverges at large q.
Large q, you cannot use this approximation.
No?
Yeah. You know what Pauli said to Landau? Landau, think for yourself. I explained it 3 times. So look, anybody else, should I explain? Okay.
No,
this integral sits at q of the order of 1 over xi, but what's the point? And I made certain efforts to prove this. I want to discuss what happens. Here. Well, we know that conductivity at zero frequency is zero, if I look what is how density correlator looks like, it looks like at it time goes to infinity. It looks like whatever it is, kind of function of x minus x prime times t of t. So it's, you have nothing is moving, and now question is how whole structure of wave functions looks like. It's very simple. You have here energies. You have here energies. Here you have coordinate x, and total density. You have total density, but you at any place you have. Just if you look locally, you have considerable gap between the functions. And this gap is of the order delta, is of the order of 1 over density of states times localization length to power d, where d is dimension. So, but this is, you should, this if you just cut a piece of size psi, then you have finite spacing, and that is this spacing. And this is not right, because somewhere else you have the same staircase, but position of this level is not exactly this. So they are talking to each other, but they are talking to each other exponentially. So if I look at any of these wave functions, on average, these wave functions are decaying as modulus x minus x prime divided by xi. So if I look what is my overlap, it is more or less delta times this. This delta is typical scale of this thing. So now, what is my picture? I have here level of the chemical potential. Everything below field, everything above are empty. But in principle, I have all everywhere. I have energy levels. But this. If I put particular energy, then I find this place sitting not everywhere, but in particular place in space. Now I have light with frequency omega, and now I will calculate absorption. Absorption rate Q is of the order of sigma of omega epsilon omega modulus square. This is electric field, and that is how it absorbed. On the other hand, it should be equal to h bar omega times probability of absorption. Probability of absorption is, I have integral over, just let me write it. So I start from, no, I sit here, I start from here, I go there. So I should look at 2 pi over h bar. I should have here matrix element from epsilon prime. Here it should be E x and charge to epsilon mod squared, and I should write here d epsilon prime n of epsilon prime times times d epsilon 1 minus n epsilon delta delta epsilon minus epsilon prime minus h bar omega. Next important thing is that if I have initial states, what is my Hamiltonian? My Hamiltonian is phi 1 a dagger 1 a 1, phi 2 a dagger 2 a 2, plus exchange, which is I of r a dagger 1 a 2 plus a dagger 2 a 1. This I of R, this I of R is approximate delta E minus mod X minus X prime divided by Xi. And these phis are the states before I took into account this exchange. Now, if I now try look at my Hamiltonian, it is a matrix. Phi 1.
The energies. Phi 1 and phi
2 are bare energies. Yes. They are bare energies. Phi 1 and phi 2. I. And epsilon plus minus is phi 1 plus phi 2 over 2 plus minus square root phi 1 minus phi 2 over 2 squared plus I of r squared. Well, now it's pretty clear that if I want this difference to be equal to zero, to be equal to h bar omega, then the distance between these two places, the distance between these two places will be r omega, and it will be, it's very simple. You say that r will be larger than r omega, and r omega equal to psi logarithm delta over omega. So if I am at the distances shorter than that, nevertheless my overlap will repeal my levels farther. So this distance which appears here should inevitably be large. Well, now everything is set, and if I now look what is my sigma will be, first of all, for dimension d equal 1, my sigma of omega will be e squared, density of states squared, it will be h bar omega squared, but it's important that it is omega squared, and here it is r omega squared, so it is coefficient e squared g squared h bar, psi squared, and here omega squared log squared omega to the delta to omega. But that is first place which appears and which is important to understand. Despite my system is dielectric, nevertheless it contains huge dipole momentum, and the shorter, the smaller is omega, the longer is dipole momentum. And
what's G in here?
G is density of states. Instead of integration over states, I should write here density of states twice. What you see, this is something which you would expect if you have a glass, or if you have if you have glass, if you have rock salt, whatever, then you AC conductivity is omega squared times particular length. Usually this is atomic length. And the point is that Anderson dielectric is not quite dielectric. It has constant density of states, and because of that it gives you finite conductivity. It gives you something which is something infrared in this place. If I wanted for d equal, for arbitrary d, this expression will be omega squared, and this logarithm will be d plus 1 delta over omega, and this appears, I explained you where from. It's if I have one thing here and another thing there, and they are in the distance r omega, then r omega squared is square of dipole momentum. But if I have it all in multidimensional space, then I have area. And this area gives me, instead of dr, it gives me Jacobian. And this Jacobian depends on dimension, so it's how this thing appears. This all is true and correct, provided electrons are not interacting. If they are interacting, situation is different. And that, so but this answer, I think it is, I would guess it is 1961. And this is Neville Mott. The derivation is different, but and what I will present now belongs to Efrem Shklovsky, and you will recognize it quite easily. My point is that now I want to consider again a pair of states. So again I consider, I don't need these. I consider, but it will be now with interaction. It will be with interaction. So now again, I consider my Hamiltonian as, what is this? It is phi 1 and 1, phi 2 and 2. Now I have I A1 dagger, A2, A2 dagger, a1 plus e squared over dielectric constant and over r n1 n2. Now, what I want to say? I want to say that I have three different variants. Variant number one, n1 equal to n2 equal to zero. Well, this energy in this case is zero, and it's not interesting. Second, I have n1 plus n2 equal to 1. So total number of particles is 1. And you don't say at which state they sit. Then this term is not important at all. And story number 3 is n1 equal 1 and 2 equal 1. I have two particles sitting on this pair. Now, if I look at this, this term is not really relevant. And I come again to the same story. I have epsilon plus e plus minus equals to phi 1 plus phi 2 over 2 plus minus square root phi 1 minus phi 2 over 2 squared plus I squared.
When there are two particles, you cannot excite the dipole, right?
Just wait. I need it for different purposes. I need this for different purposes. Now, what I want to say? Now, I want to say following. Wait. I know that you will ask this question. I'm going to explain. How these things was in non-interacting particles. I had here my chemical potential. I had here my chemical potential. And now I had two things. I had E minus sitting below and E plus sitting above. And for me, it was important that one is filled and the other is empty. Now, and because of this integration over position of these things, total difference was h bar omega, and integration over total position here gave me extra omega. And that is how omega squared appeared. Now I want to say something different. Suppose now I take into account this Coulomb repulsion. Then situation is very different. Suppose now I have my E minus sitting here, E plus sitting there. What is important that this E2 is above. If E2 is above, then I cannot have two particles. And then despite E plus is below chemical potential, it is still empty. Do you follow me? That's typical Haber trick. So the lowest level is filled. The upper level here is empty, because if I fill it, it will correspond to altogether to particle of to energy of two particles, and this energy by my construction should be above. So this means that In all this integration, which I have here, over epsilon prime, I should replace it epsilon prime not by omega, but by this energy E square over kappa r. So now I have for d equal 1, again, E squared, g squared, that's all right, r omega squared, that appeared from here, but here I had two things, h bar omega, which was for non-interacting part, and here I have E squared kappa r omega. This, if omega goes to zero, then this is not important, and my answer is E squared G squared psi omega log delta over omega. But I just direct your attention that this is very much not usual dielectric. It is not omega square conductivity, it is omega. And the power here of logarithm is reduced. Is it all right? Should I explain anything? Okay, good. Very good. Now there is last and important point, which was mentioned yesterday, and that is the fact that your density of states is not constant. Your density of states has pseudo gap. And all my calculation is correct if my h bar omega is larger than this. This pseudo gap is different, and it is epsilon squared over e to the 6 for d equals 3, and that we heard yesterday. And remarkably, for d equal 1, it is, on that now look what it is. G of epsilon is g naught 1 plus e squared g naught log one over epsilon. But this is this has no relation to.
So Dima, should I interpret it as plugging in g as function of omega now in the formula for conductivity?
Right.
So it's not really omega, it's omega cube, right? In higher dimension where this would.
No.
Huh?
No. No.
So what's...
No. Just wait. It's you are saying the right thing in principle, but the answer is, I give you the answer.
Not only 1D, that's what I'm saying.
Sorry? No. I understand your desire. I will meet your desire. But I want to dance a bit around this formula. I like it, and I want to say something about it. This is formula for Coulomb gap and 1D. This has relation to yesterday's talk. In 1D we don't have any glass. We still have Coulomb gap. This is why I always thought from 20 years back that despite Coulomb glass problem, it's really a glassy problem with all glass ingredients, the Coulomb gap is not an ingredient of glassy behavior. It is more or less short-range phenomenon. Now I should explain to you, Ilya, how should you modify this thing, in order to do it properly. In order to modify, you should substitute G, but not at omega. You should substitute it at phi. And U phi is of the order of E squared kappa R omega. So it is E squared kappa psi log 1 over omega. So it does not change power of omega, it change power of log. So in 3D, for instance, this formula which used to be in 3D, this formula used to be omega log cube 1 over omega, and it will be transformed in omega over log 1 over omega. And in 1D, of course, it will be repeated log, which is not so interesting.
The thing from one formula, it looks very much like what you have when you have a polymerization group in the margin at a marginal dimension.
Yeah.
How you get this formula?
This formula could be obtained by summation of leading logarithms, right?
Right.
I have finished, thank you.
And recently there have been experiments again on this. There have been experiments again on this optical conductivity and the crossover between the Mott formula and omega squared to the linear omega is much sharper than the Bronskowski.
I have no comments to this. I don't know. I'm not familiar. I'm sorry. Oh, yes, John.
So with what you talked about in the first part, it seemed you could, I mean, in a way you were looking at crossover near the classical fixed point. I mean, you're kind of looking at crossover between the classical perturbation transition and the quantum.
No, not at all, not at all. I was looking at how large is quantum correction to classical conductivity. And when the quantum correction was of the order of classical, I declare this is the place where transition occurs. It was the classical estimates were vehicle for evaluation of quantum correction. It was perfectly quantum. Thank you.